Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we're going to talk about transits. In fact, if you have your chart and you've been studying astrology, then this is a classroom show. So gentlemen and ladies, start your tape decks, right? Definitely one to record. And today I'm going to actually explain to you what you can do every day during the planetary news. When I give out the news, a lot of people sit there like aliens and they go, what the heck is this all about? I don't understand any of this. And anyone actually that listens to this show and tunes in right at 12 noon, when I do the planetary news, they hear me give out the planets, and oftentimes they say to themselves, well, what does that mean to me, Farley? But all the advanced students say to themselves, wow, Mercury's sitting on my Venus, and ooh, Jupiter's square my Saturn, and Mars is conjunct my rising, you know. So advanced astrological students that speak the language know what these transits mean, but many of you don't. And I actually got a call from a nice lady yesterday, and she said, Farley, how do I record the transits on my chart? And I said, look, lady, that would take quite some time to explain, and I really don't have time to explain it right now. So I thought, okay, if she's got that question, I guess a lot of people do, so I might as well do a topic on it. So what we want you to do is we want you to get your astroscopes out, if you have one, or your natal charts. Okay, that's point number one. Now, point number one is that, first of all, you should be able to have some way of either writing on your chart every day, which means if you took an astroscope, the wheel, over to a PIP, a postal instant press, and blocked out the bottom where it said abbreviations, and ran yourself off maybe a couple hundred copies, right, of the chart wheel itself. That's one way to follow your transits. Another way would be just to get a plastic cover and a felt tip pen with a washable ink on the felt tip, right, where every day you could just take a little piece of Kleenex or something and moisten it and wipe it clean. I like to do it that way. So we take a plastic cover and we put it over the chart. The first part of understanding this topic is understanding a little bit about the universe, understanding a little bit about the known universe as far as where the 12 signs are, how big each sign is, how you measure the energy in each sign, and, you know, where you would locate, say, a Mars in a Libra at 18. You know, people say, oh, Mars in Libra at 18, what does that mean? Well, it helps to know that the zodiac is a full circle of 360 degrees. It helps to know what order the zodiac goes in. In other words, it helps to know that each sign really represents a major stellar constellation of multiple parsecs in size and going back in space an infinite amount of distance there, okay? So when we talk about the energy of Aries, what we're talking about is an area of space which makes up 1/12 of the orbiting circle that surrounds the Earth. From our point of view, there is a circle of signs, 12 signs, where the planets, the sun, and the moon will travel. That circle is called the ecliptic, but for astrology reasons, we call that circle the zodiac. And knowing, number one, that Aries is the first sign, Taurus is second, Gemini is third, and then it goes Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces in that order. And you should be able to memorize those signs so you could start at any sign like Virgo and go through all 12 in order. Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo. So you need to know the order of the signs. That's number one. You need to know that there's 30 punches or 30 degrees or 30 sectors that we want to be aware of for each and every sign. So if we're talking about Libra, we could be talking about Libra 1 or Libra 2 or Libra 3 all the way up to Libra 29. And when we get to the end of Libra 29, we start at the next sign, which is Scorpio 0. Same with Scorpio. We go from Scorpio 0 up to Scorpio 29. When that ends, we go to Sag 0, and so forth, all the way around the zodiac. So a planet at any given time could be located in any one of the 12 sectors of the zodiac, in any one of the 30 degrees of each sector. So when I give out the news every day, what I'm literally telling you, like if I tell you the moon is 5 Gemini, that's where it is. You know, there's 30 points in Gemini. In 2 hours, the moon will have moved to 6 Gemini. And in another 2 hours, the moon will have moved to 7 Gemini, and so on and so forth. So, you know, like every day, the sun moves one punch. The sun right now, for example, would be located hypothetically at 24 Libra. And tomorrow the sun will be 25 Libra. Why does the sun move 1 degree a day? Well, that's easy. Because it takes about a month or 30 days for that sun to move from one sign to another. Makes sense, right? 30 degrees in each sign, 30 days, and the sun goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20, 9, 30, and then starts the next sign. So that's what that's all about. Okay, so literally, if you were sitting there and looking at your chart with a plastic cover over it, and you were able to find the 12 signs of the zodiac on your chart, and if you filled in your abbreviations, then you would be. You know, because the abbreviations at the bottom of the page that come in every astroscope give you the signs Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and so forth. So, like, my wheel's simple. Because my chart starts at Libra. Like, I'm Libra 20 rising. So my whole first house is Libra 20 to Scorpio 20. Then my second house starts Scorpio 20 and goes to Sag 20. My third house goes Sag 20 to Capricorn 20. So each house in equal house astrology, which is what I teach on the air, is always 30 degrees in size. So all 12 houses are equal. And that's why equal house astrology is easier than other house form systems of astrology, because there is what we call Placidus and Koch house systems, which are not equal in size, and for that reason it's complicated to analyze your transits and also to understand your natal energies. Now, I believe in all house systems. In other words, I respect Koch and I respect Placidus and I respect equal, but I was trained in equal house, and people say, why is that? It's because Dana Marshall, when she channeled the astrological knowledge in the 70s when we formed the Academy of Atlantis, which trained 500-600 people along the lines of astrology and metaphysics, the energy that she channeled with her automatic writing upside down and backwards, 10,000 pages or more, came out from her spirit guide, Fernette Chittingham, who was a famous astrologer from Atlantis, okay? And so equal house astrology is presented from a channel form of psychic intuition by Aunt Dana Marshall as the most readily accepted form of astrology in the 30,000-year history of the Atlantean civilization. Isn't it funny? The space shuttle's name is Atlantis, and Atlantis dissolved, was vaporized. But why would they want to curse a space shuttle with that name? I have no idea. And then send a nuclear bomb to Jupiter with a methane atmosphere, right? And if that puppy goes off, then Jupiter's going to go up like a fireball. And who knows? Now, some people say it's going to be another star. Uh-uh. What if that thing goes up supernova and explodes? What happens to the Earth? There's no telling what would happen to a planet that's nitroglycerin, and we go ahead and send a matchstick over there. So, you know, I'm totally against that space shuttle going up. No, if you wonder what 20 pounds of plutonium would do, it would probably create an atomic bomb about 100 times more powerful than Nagasaki. It's enough to ignite the atmosphere on Jupiter, and it's going to be close enough to do that. So I think people that are frightened to launch this space shuttle, Atlantis, have their fear. So anyway, let's say you know your signs in order, and let's say you know where the signs are on your chart. A lot of people like to redo their chart and put it on some chart paper where they can actually see the degrees. Like, some charts actually have 0 to 30 put in for each sign, and that really helps when you're doing your transits. But basically, when I announce the transits, I usually announce them in order. First, I put the rising sign out there, which is the rising for the moment, which isn't really that important. You know, like, if it's Sag rising right now, well, maybe you're a Sag rising. That might give you a little bit more energy, but the rising sign is not that significant. And then I announce them in order, usually Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Well, Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Pluto don't move. You know, I have announced Jupiter around 10 Cancer and Saturn around 8 Capricorn and Uranus at 1 Capricorn and Neptune at 9 Capricorn and Pluto at 14 Scorpio about the same for about a month. So they're not the ones you want to scurry to write down, because you should already know where they are. They should be put on your chart. You know, a lot of people will take their regular astroscope and will use a pencil and write in where Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are moving, and they don't have to change that for about a month. The ones you want to catch, the moving planets that we are most concerned with, are the quick ones. The Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and the Moon. And if we get that down, we can actually figure out for sure what's going on in our lives, because the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and the Moon are planets, I believe, that astrologically trigger everything in our natal charts. which means that, let's say you're already having a Uranus opposition to your Venus in Cancer like I am, okay? And then the moon comes around to Cancer, and the sun comes around to Capricorn. Bingo! You know, whatever Uranus was going to do usually follows through when the sun and the moon come along and trigger it. So this, whereas the slow-moving planets like Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Pluto have a subtle effect on our lives, the quick ones, like the moon, you know, which is actually the cosmic trigger, which pulls the trigger on us, and the sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars literally have a much more intense effect, transit-wise. Albeit to say that when you look in your transit forecast and you read the paragraphs that show the Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto transits are usually very intense paragraphs because they represent transition, rebirth, metamorphosis, and also lifestyle changes, and also karma processing, which is significant to your growth. You know, like if you're having a long Saturn transit, hey, you are being told to let go of something and say goodbye. And because Saturn sits in one sign for 2.5 years, then it might not be so easy to say goodbye. You might be sitting there going, oh no, I don't want to let go of my pain. No way. I want to torture myself. I'm climbing up on the cross, nailing the nails in myself. So, you know, and then the question is, people say, okay, Farley, how do you read your transits? You know, now that I'm sitting here with my little plastic cover on my chart, and I just heard you announce Sun at 23 Libra, so I'll write that in, and oh, Farley, Sun is on my rising sign. Well, usually, wherever the Sun is, in whatever house it's in, there's a focus on that kind of business. So all Libra risings right now are focusing on self-development, their health, their looks, their appearance. I got Sun on my ascendant. I just grew a mustache the other day. Hadn't had one in about a year, you know, and so all of a sudden the appearance changes. I didn't even think about that, you know, and all of a sudden I go, wow, isn't that funny? Sun went into my first house, and here comes Mars is going into my first house in a couple of days. What does that mean, right? You have to understand in astrology that astrology is a science of combinations, which means that if you know what the houses mean, in other words, if you're aware that the first house is the self and the appearance, and the second house is money and values, and the third house is your mind and communications and details. Because all you Libra risings out there have had Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Capricorn in your third houses, most of you. And that's why we've all been just a wave of details and little petty bull things to do from all those Capricorn transits, and frankly, also Scorpio risings that are early. Late Libra risings and early Scorpio risings have those three planets hanging in Capricorn for like 5 to 10 years. So responsibility is the karma there. It's like too much, too much, too many bills, too many debts, too many problems, too much maintenance. So, you know, that's when planets hang there, you know, obviously, if you know what house Capricorn rules, you're going to plug in a major area of karma at this time in your life because Saturn and Uranus and Neptune have been together there in Capricorn for many years already, and it's been driving most of us crazy, especially those Capricorn people. Anyway, so understanding your combinations, like when we send you a chart, we send you that study guide that says how horoscopes work. And what you're supposed to do with that study guide is you're supposed to study the meanings of each of the 12 houses and study the meanings of each of the 12 signs and understand the meanings of each of the planets to get the houses down, the signs down, and the planets. And then we have a section there on aspects. When I talk about these terms like squares and conjunctions and oppositions and trines that only our gorillas understand and the chimpanzees don't know yet what that means, that's jargon in astrology. To speak the language of astrology, all you got to do is memorize the meaning of the 12 houses, the meaning of the 12 signs, that's 24 things, the 8 planets besides the earth, the sun and the moon, and the rising, that's 35 things. And the aspects, the major aspects, square, conjunction, opposition, trine, and maybe inconjunct, and sextile. That's 6 more. So there's 40 things that you have to learn in astrology. And by knowing that, then you get a basis or a root foundation to understanding it. That's why we send study guides out with our charts, because we want you to learn those 40 things. So when you hear me talk about the 7th house or a square or an opposition or a trine, and if you've read that over 20 times, which is what it takes sometimes, you just can't sit there and, hey, Farley, I read how horoscopes work. It doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, great. I'd love to have you study for a final for me in a class, right? This is a science, and it does take some study. And when you get it down, then you'll understand what it means. Okay, so let's say that I did announce that For example, the moon is in Gemini, and it's at 5 degrees. Okay, so if we put that in my chart, we find out that the moon at 5 Geminis in my 8th house, or my house of passion, okay, and intensity, and at 5 Gemini, it'll semi-sextile my Venus, because I have a 5 Venus in Cancer, so that's insignificant transit. It doesn't do anything else to my chart, because I have no early degrees, except my Neptune is 10 Libra, so very soon, because that Neptune's an air Libra, the moon tonight will be trine my Neptune. So I'm going to get a real nice spiritual Piscean vibration from a moon trine Neptune, which is a real pleasant aspect. So the moon, for me, is going to be good. Tonight, emotionally, should be a good night, because the moon, if you read your study guide, it rules emotions and feelings. And Neptune rules dreams and psychic awareness and illumination, and also the occult side to ourselves, the higher consciousness. So it's a good time to be spiritual and psychic and channel. And because it's coming from the 8th house, well, you're right. This is the most sensuous or romantic time of the month for me. So that means I got to get my blow-up doll out again. I don't own a blow-up doll. But anyway, that really, it makes a lot of sense. Like, a lot of people wonder, like, why is she only sexy once a month? Well, if you followed the moon in her chart, you might find out that if she was a Libra rising or a Scorpio rising, when the moon hit that 8th house, it would trigger that. And then a lot of times the moon goes into the 9th house, which rules travel, and you'll say, well, why do I feel like traveling or getting in the car, driving up the coast, and you find out you're jumping in on a plane, or because 9th house is philosophy, or college, or foreigners, or religion, you know, you would have a contact or an experience connected with that. And the transits are so much fun because you can use the transits to prove that astrology works. Because, like I said, you know, it's not hard to put in the Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, and Pluto location, and the North Node location, because they don't move that far. What you have to keep up with on a daily basis is the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. And they're the ones that really trigger the chart quickly. Okay, like Mars transits, you can get cut, you can have accidents, you could meet men, you could fall in love, you could be sexy, you could be passionate. Venus transit, same thing. Money, power, values, love, all those issues are in focus. Mercury transits are communications, details, bills, letters, phone calls, you know, all that stuff, TV, radio. Sun transits are identity transformation situations. And the moon transits are emotional situations. The moon sometimes will control relationships with your mother, and the sun will control relationships with your father. So, you know, when we send you a transit forecast, we lay it out for you. We actually tell you what a Mars conjunct Jupiter is. And Mars in the sky, let's say you have Jupiter at 17 Libra, Mars being at 17 Libra would be sitting on top of or in conjunction to your Jupiter. And in our transit forecast, in our advanced transits, we might say increased possibility of meeting a man, because Mars is men. So men friends, for people looking for friends or lovers, if you want that. Congenial, optimistic, philosophical time, because Jupiter is that kind of planet. And focus on travel, because Mars and Jupiter together, you got the energy planet and the travel planet together. And that's how you explain astrology. It's fun. Let's say you're having a long transit where Saturn is square your Venus. You have Venus in either Aries or in Libra at 9 degrees, and Saturn square your Venus. Well, we might put up a period that would affect, that could be something like October 5th through November 10th. It's a long transit. And then the date on the far left would say maybe October the 1st, which means this transit's going to peak on the 1st of October, but on top, October 5th to November 10th is how long it's going to last. And what's a Saturn square Venus? We're talking karma with women, problems with money. We're talking growth concerning values, money, power, relationships, and imbalance concerning love vibration. So if you knew that you had Venus in Libra or in Aries at around 9 degrees, then you're having not only a Saturn square Venus, but because Neptune is right near Saturn at 9, you're having a Neptune square Venus, and that would compound it. You have two major planets, two large planets, the second and third largest planet next to Jupiter, square your Venus for about a year, you know, coming back and forth to the peak, because in your transit forecast, it might peak through October and then peak again in January during the retrograde and then peak again in April. So you're thinking, well, Farley, when is this transit going to end? You know, we're talking already now problems with the government, taxes, the police, tickets, traffic, because the Venus represents funds and resources. So you get strange, complicated problems concerning money, like bills out of left field. Someone hits your car when it's parked, and they have no insurance, and they're an illegal alien, and $10,000 in damage. Your insurance goes up. You know, they pay for it, but your insurance gets doubled. The DMV finds out about it, goes on your record as an accident, even though you weren't in the car. And then your car was pushed on the curb, so you got a ticket for it. Because you didn't know the car was hit till 2 hours later, and the cops came by and saw your car sitting on the curb, and that you got a ticket for $50 for that in Beverly Hills. So you're having a Saturn, Neptune, square Venus, which sometimes means park your car in a bomb shelter and stay indoors. You know, and when it lasts for a month, you can't do that. See, and there's all kinds of good things. See, like squares and opposition transits and conjunction transits usually mean karma. They usually mean, the reason why I talk about the spirit and the material so much, and I talk about karma so much, is because if you are an obsessed, selfish, dream crazy individual that wants money and power and glory and cars and homes and real estate and lovers and you want to get obsessed in relationships and stuff, then when you have those squares, that's when the universe says, you're not going to, we're taking this away from you, or we're going to damage it, or we're going to hurt you, or you're going to be tested. So if you can't come back and regroup to your own spirit, which is what I always say, which is where the only power of wealth is, then during these transits, you're going to suffer. And that's what Saturn is. Saturn, which is the planet of karma, is the martyred planet. So that means that when you go through these aspects, a square and opposition transit, then what you own and what you hold dear is taken from you, whatever it is. So you got to be careful what you hold dear more than your own spirit. And people will say, well, Farley, that's selfish to hold your own spirit dear. Well, spirit is all there is. Everything else is an illusion. The only thing that is real is the spirit. Everything else you think that is real is a hologram that is presented by the spirit for your benefit. You know, and a lot of times, oh, you think this is my benefit? Someone just smashed my Toyota Celica, $18,000 car. So, did I tell you to spend $18,000 on a car? Was it so important you spend $170,000 on the boat that just blew up and sunk off the coast? Or look at this big, beautiful house. It's on the cliffs of Malibu, mudslide storm. When the transits hit, and everybody has squares and oppositions and conjunction transits every month, then that's when things pass. Trines and sextile transits bring you things and test you. That's when you get the candy dangled in front of you. And you're like a little dog going, you know, you're trying to grab at that Snickers. You're like, I want that, you know. And then you get a hold of it and it's like so good. And then the square in opposition comes and someone takes it out of your mouth. If you ever try to take something away from a dog that he likes, people get mad. They get mad at themselves. They get mad at everyone they love, at everyone around them, and the karma runs hot. And that is exactly the vibration that keeps us here on Earth. You want to know about reincarnation? It is the karma. It is your obsession with this illusion that keeps you coming back over and over and over. If you want to escape the pull of reincarnation, then you'll have to take everything on this earth as trivial. And where the true wealth would be would lie in the spirit, eternal, before and after life, not during. And that's really what the key to the whole thing with astrology is. Astrology is a mechanical science that explains the path of the soul, the lessons of karma, the areas of growth we involve ourselves in as far as what areas of this dimension we get obsessed with, and what we must overcome to be spiritual. So the astrology chart, the birth chart, is a map of our karma. Our natal squares and oppositions show us which things we are hooked on at birth for the whole lifetime. And the transit squares and oppositions trigger the circuits that make us get mad. Because we can't have it. Remember when you were a baby, when you were four, and someone took your ball away? Oh, you know, even babies get upset when they take away possession. That's my ball. What do you take my toy? You took my candy. You know, it's like, it's my. Imagine there's no possessions. Imagine everybody owns it, shares everything. But we have all this possession and property, which is almost satanic, because it's karmic. And if you wondered what Satan was, he would be the lord of karma, the one who would be responsible for holding people enslaved to this dimension. And when you screw up in this dimension, then you're banished to a lower planet. or insect type experience. You know, people say, well, I don't believe in transmigration of the souls. What do you think happens to bad people? You think they come back as a donkey? Or a snake? Or maybe a praying mantis? You know, the ones that bite off the heads of their mates after they have sex? Well, yeah, it's pretty brutal experience down there. But from my meditations, Earth is not the lowest part of the consciousness scale. If you wondered what Hades was, that is another planet that makes Earth look like heaven. And the people that live on that planet that have any sense try hard to qualify so they could be granted residence on Earth, even as an insect. Because anything on that planet, God knows where Hades is. No, God doesn't know where Hades is, right? Anything on that planet is such a negative experience that I can't even want to comment on it. I might compare it to the caveman state of Earth millions of years ago. Pretty barbaric. And you know, I'm not trying to threaten you, because that's not what I call eternal punishment, because I hope people learn the lessons on that planet so they come to Earth, even though they don't learn their lessons on this planet. But there's a higher realm beyond Earth that we all strive to get to, that we must work out our karma and overcome it in order to get to that realm. You like this topic, huh? Pretty heavy topic. Huh? Okay. See, unlike most shows where you hear people doing readings all hour, or people doing sun sign astrology, this show is dedicated to advanced forms of consciousness. So if you find yourself listening to the show and interested in it, then congratulations. You have not only qualified to be a higher being on Earth, but you are qualifying now in a realm of expanding your consciousness and your awareness, where finally you can get into things as evolved and as metaphysical as astrology. Southern California, I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to the Tuesday 2-hour expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, 93.5 FM KFOX.